yo no sé lo que es. Pero sí se me preguntó en esta acción si de verdad. Sí, que tiene más. Me dice que esto que hizo el mundo vital es también que se da más en esta situación que chicamos. Vamos a ver lo que yo he visto, que yo soy muy bien de usar y tengo una relación de la vida. Today is the day of Vishwarupa Mahotsav, yes?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Yes.
Yes?
Yes.
This is the day when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he left Jagannath Puri after taking sannyas to travel in South India, he said, I will go searching after Vishwarupa, which was his elder brother who had taken sannyas. He actually did take sannyas and became known as Shankaranya. So he traveled in South India. He used that as an excuse, actually. But he traveled in South India, and eventually he came to Maharashtra, and he was at the temple of Vitalna. Have you seen Vital?
Vital.
You have seen? Have you? Mm. Have you?
Vital.
He's standing on a brick. Quite interesting. Everyone loves him. Say Jai Vital. In Maharashtra, in Pandharpur. So, and there, even it was Chaturmasya time, this is in the 4 months of the rainy season, and that time the sannyasis, they don't shave or bathe, or not bathe, but they don't travel. So he found out, on this day he arrived, Mahaprabhu arrived in Pandharpur, and he found out that this Rupa had passed away from this world. And at that time he shaved his head, and he had a festival, and that festival is called Vishwarupa Mahotsav. So in the Gaudiya tradition, all the devotees who are following Chaturmasya and don't shave on this day, they shave their heads and beards.
They shave on this day?
Yes, and they have a festival. They don't follow Chaturmasya on this day. They have a festival, and they break their restrictions and their eating and whatever. They have a festival. So on this day, in long after, 450 years or so, after Mahaprabhu observed this, something very wonderful happened on the Vishwarupa Mahotsava, and that is Prabhupada, on this day in Mathura, Prabhupada took sannyas. So we're going to read the some of that pastime. One night, this is when Prabhupada was living in Vrindavan, and he was known as Abai, his initiated name, Abai Charanaravinda Das. One night, Abai had a striking dream, the same dream he had had several times before, during his days as a householder. He was living as a vanaprastha. This time renounced for that his family, but not a sannyasi. In that dream, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati appeared just as Abai had known him, the tall, scholarly sannyasis coming directly from the spiritual world, from Krishna's personal entourage. He called to Abai in the dream and indicated that he should follow. Repeatedly he called and motioned. He was asking Abai to take sannyas. Come, he urged. Become a sannyasi. Abai awoke in a state of wonder. He thought of this instruction as another feature of his original instruction, that of the original instruction Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati had given him at their first meeting in Calcutta, the same instruction that his spiritual master had later solidified in a letter: become an English preacher and spread Krishna consciousness throughout the Western world. Sannyas was for that end. Otherwise, why would his spiritual master have asked him to accept it? Abai reasoned that his spiritual master was saying, now take sannyas and you will actually be able to accomplish this mission. Formally, the time was not right. Abai deliberated cautiously. By accepting sannyas, a Vaishnava dedicates his body, mind, and words totally to the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, renouncing all other engagements. He was doing that already. Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati had offered sannyas to his leading disciples so that they could continue his mission. They hadn't done it. Preaching in the West had proved perilous, even for the Gaudiya Math's most recognized sannyasis. How could he, a mere householder, presume he could succeed where the others had failed? He was hesitant. The helpless, incapable feeling that he had expressed in his Varaha Astaka was there, but now his spiritual master was beckoning him, over all other considerations, even over natural humility. Now, although he was elderly and alone, the desire to preach just as his spiritual master had preached remained within him, a fierce, though sometimes quiet, expressed determination. The Vedic standard in the example set by the previous acharyas was that if one wanted to lead a preaching movement, sannyas was required. Śrīla Bhaktisiddhānta Saraswati had taken sannyas to facilitate his missionary work. Lord Chaitanya had taken sannyas to further the Sankirtan movement. Of course, Lord Chaitanya Lord Chaitanya was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but when his young students had been disrespectful towards him, treating him as an ordinary man, then he had taken sannyas, because a sannyasi is automatically respected. Lord Chaitanya's acceptance of sannyas was a calculated tactic. As soon as he began traveling throughout India as a sannyasi, he immediately attracted thousands of followers to his Sankirtan movement. Knowing that many cheaters would accept the saffron dress and abuse the respect given to sannyasis, Lord Chaitanya had advised against accepting sannyas in the age of Kali. He knew that cheaters in the guise of sadhus would act immorally, accumulate funds for their own sense gratification, and make many followers simply to enhance their own prestige. Posing as swamis, they would cheat the public. Because the people in Kali Yuga are unable to follow the rules and regulations of sannyas, Lord Chaitanya had recommended that they simply chant Hare Krishna. But, however, if a person could actually follow the rules, and especially if he had to spread the Sankirtan movement, sannyas was necessary. Abai first had to approach one of his godbrothers for permission. He decided to turn to Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj, formerly Kunja Bihari, who was the leader of the Chaitanya Math in Calcutta. Abai still thought of the Chaitanya Math as the headquarters of his spiritual master's mission. During the heated legal disputes, the Chaitanya Math had been the most prized acquisition, and since 1948 it had been under the legal ownership of Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj. Now, although each sannyasi had his own place or places, the Chaitanya Math and Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj legally represented the Gaudiya Math entity. Abai felt that if he were to take sannyas and go preach in America, he should give the Chaitanya Math the first opportunity to support his work. In April of 1959, how many years ago?
50 years ago.
So that means on this day 50 years ago. Abai wrote to Tirtha Maharaj inquiring about sannyas, as well as about Chaitanya Math's printing some of his manuscripts. And since no one was going abroad, he volunteered to do so on behalf of the Chaitanya Math. Bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj replied that Abai should first join the Chaitanya Math. He mentioned the strife that still lingered. Those who are acting against Chaitanya Math, they are motivated by their individual ambitions. Anyone who was against the Chaitanya Math, he said, was acting illogically and against the instructions of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So according to Tirtha Maharaj, the thing for Abai to do, the thing he had neglected to do for so many years, was to join the Chaitanya Math and act under his direction. Tirtha Maharaj mentioned several members of the Chaitanya Math who had recently accepted the sannyas order, and he said that Abai could also become one in time. He invited Abai to come reside at the Chaitanya Math. The houses that we have, there are rooms that are airy and well lit. We will treat you exclusively. There won't be any difficulty. We will take care that no inconveniences are caused. But as for printing books, he said, we are eager to await to print the books like the Satsandarbhas, Vedanta, based on devotional service, and many other rare books by the Goswamis. First, we will print them. Books written by you will be checked by the editorial staff, and if the funds can be raised, then they can be printed according to priority, The books will be printed only if they are favorable for the service of Chaitanya Mahat. Therefore, if the fund is raised, then there is a plan to go abroad as well. Abhay was not encouraged. The main difficulty he felt was the Chaitanya Mahat's shortage of funds. Srila Prabhupada, this is what he said, I was working with my broken typewriter. I went to our Tirtha Maharaj. You give me a room and print my books, give me some money, I will join you. I thought, this is Guru Maharaj's institution. He did not say no, but the printing of books was a difficult task for him. He had no money. He was hardly collecting for maintenance. Printing of books is a big job, and there was no guarantee of sale. Without printing books and going to the West, sannyas did not have any meaning for Abhay. And who knew when Tirtha Maharaj would sanction his taking sannyas? There was no point in going to Calcutta just to reside in an airy, well-lit room. That he already had in Vrindavan. Abhay wrote back to Tirtha Maharaj mentioning his direct order from Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati to preach to the English-speaking people. He wanted to go to the West right away, and he had thought that Chaitanya Mahat would welcome his order. Offer. Both Abhay and Tirtha Maharaj had their responsibilities, but perhaps they could work together to carry out the desire of their spiritual master. Abhay asked Tirtha Maharaj to reconsider. On May 7, 1959, Bhaktivilas Tirtha Maharaj wrote back and said, my suggestion is don't make any hasty decision. For the time being, you stay with us and engage yourself in the service of the society and then accept Tridanda sannyas. The purpose of accepting Tridanda is to serve the society. If that is your desire, then Sri Chaitanya Mahat will decide about your going to America to preach and make all the arrangements. It can never be the principle of the society to let one act according to his individual attempt or desire. The society will decide after consulting with the heads what is to be done by whom. That is what I want to say. First of all, it is necessary to identify oneself with the society. In order to preach in America or in another foreign country, it is important to have a dignified organization in the background, and secondly, it is necessary to establish oneself in India before going to preach in the foreign countries. Now, it is that there are no conferences or meetings in the West as before. Communication is done through the medium of television. That's what he said. Now it's getting to be true, actually, but not through television, but through computer. Abhay could understand the needs and priorities of the Chaitanya Mahat, but he could not allow them to overrule what he considered the highest mandate, preaching, as Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati had ordered. Abhay had offered his services to the leaders of the Chaitanya Mahat, thinking they might also see things his way. He thought that with the world's crying need for Krishna consciousness staring them in the face, they might see that this Abhay Babu was convinced and enthusiastic, and so he should be sent right away with whatever he required, but they had other priorities. Abhay next turned to Keshav Maharaj in Mathura, and Keshav Maharaj told Abhay to take sannyas immediately. After corresponding with Tirtha Maharaj, Abhay had felt some uncertainty about accepting sannyas, and now he was being encouraged so strongly he resisted, but Keshav Maharaj was insistent. Srila Prabhupada, I was sitting alone in Vrindavan writing. My godbrother insisted to me, Bhaktivedanta Prabhu, you must do it. Without accepting the renounced order of life, no one can become a preacher. So he insisted. Not he insisted. Practically my spiritual master insisted. He wanted me to become a preacher, so he forced me through this godbrother, you accept. So unwillingly, Prabhupada said, I accepted. Keshavji Gaudiya Math was located in the midst of one of Mathura's downtown bazaars. Its main entrance, an arched doorway, led to a courtyard open to the sky through a metal grating above. The architecture was similar to that of the Vamsi Gopalji temple. The atmosphere was secluded, as in a monastery. Abhay was a familiar, welcome figure here. He had lived here, written and studied in the library here, edited the Gaudiya Patrika, and donated the deity of Lord Chaitanya, who stood on the altar beside the deities of Radha and Krishna, C.C. Radha Vinod Bihariji. But his visit during September of 1959 was not an ordinary one. He entered the Mat dressed in white, Abhay Babu, but he would soon be dressed, he would soon be leaving dressed in saffron, a swami. Abhay had been living as a renunciant for 9 years. There was no need for him to observe a ceremony or proclaim himself a sadhu by changing to saffron dress. But it was the parampara system that a man take Tridandi sannyas at the end of his life. He was aware of the cheating sannyasis. Even in Vrindavan, he had seen so-called sadhus who did not preach, but simply spent their days hunting for chapatis. Some swamis of Vrindavan even indulged illicitly in what they had supposedly come here to reject, sex life. Such persons were making a mockery of sannyas. And there was the caste swamis also, who lived like ordinary householders, running temples as a business to support their families and accepting honor and donations from the public on false basis of birth. Abhay knew of these abuses of sannyas, but he also knew the real purpose of sannyas. Sannyas was for preaching. On the morning of September 17th, 1959, in the 50 by 25 foot deity room on the second floor of the Keshavji Mutt, a group of devotees sat before the deities of Radha and Krishna and Lord Chaitanya. The deities were colorfully dressed in royal clothing and silver crowns. Radharani's right hand faced palm forward in benediction for the worshipper. At her side, her left hand held a flower for Krishna. Krishna stood like a dancer, placing his right leg in a casual tiptoe pose before his left, playing his long silver flute, which he held gracefully to his red lips. His long black hair reached down past his shoulders, and the garland of marigolds around his neck reached down to his knees. On his right stood the deity of Lord Chaitanya, his right arm raised, his left arm at his side, his body straight, his feet together. There was a soft golden color. He was a soft golden color, and he had large eyes, a well-formed red mouth, and straight black hair down to his shoulders. One level below the deities were pictures of the spiritual masters in disciplic succession. Jagannath Das Babaji, Bhaktivinod Thakur, Gokishore Das Babaji, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati, Bhakti Pragyan Kesavaraj. Abhay sat on a mat of kusha grass beside 90-year-old Sanatan, also to receive sannyas that day. Sitting opposite the two candidates, Narayan Raj, Kesha Maharaj's disciple, prepared to conduct the ceremony of mantras and offering of grains and ghee into the fire. Akinchana Krishnadas Babaji, Abhay's godbrother, known for sweet singing, playing mridanga, sang Vaishnava bhajans. Sitting on a raised asan, His Holiness Kesha Maharaj presided. Since there had been no notices or invitations, only the mat's few residents attended. Narayan Maharaj chanted the required mantras and then sat back silently while Kesha Maharaj lectured. Then, to everyone's surprise, Kesha Maharaj asked Abhay to speak. Abhay had not expected this. As he looked around at the gathering of devotees, he understood that the common language was Hindi. Only Kesha Maharaj and a few others spoke English, yet he knew that he must speak in English. After Abhay's speech, each initiate received his sannyas danda, the traditional head high staff made of 4 bamboo rods, bound together and completely enwrapped in saffron cloth. They were given their sannyas garments, one piece of saffron cloth for a dhoti, one for a top piece, and 2 strips for underwear. They also received tulsi neck beads and the sannyas mantra. Kesha Maharaj said that Abhay would now be known as Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, and that Sanatan would be Muni Maharaj. After the ceremony, the 2 new sannyasis posed for a photo, standing on either side of the sannyas guru, who sat in a chair. You've seen this photo before?
Yes.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. You have seen? You can see, you can look after. You have seen? The whole Hare Krishna movement is in Prabhupada's face, and the determination of his face. That's waiting to be manifest. Kesava Maharaj didn't impose any strictures on Abhay. He simply encouraged him to go on preaching. Yet Abhay knew that to become A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami did not mean merely he was giving up family, home comforts and business that he had done 5 years ago. Changing from white to saffron cloth, from Abhay Babu to Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj, had a special significance. It was the mandate he had required, the irrevocable commitment. Now it was only a matter of time before Bhaktivedanta Swami would travel to the West as Bhaktivedanta Saraswati had ordained. This was Bhaktivedanta Swami's realization of his new sannyas status. The Gaudiya Patrika's account of his sannyas initiation included a biographical sketch of Sri Srimad Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj listing the major events of his life. The article concluded, "Seeing his enthusiasm and ability to write articles in Hindi, English and Bengali, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Maharaj gave him the instruction to take Tridandi sannyas. For nearly 1 year he had been ready to accept sannyas, and then in the month of Bhadra, on the day on which Vishwarupa accepted sannyas, Bhaktivedanta Swami at the Sri Keshavji Gaudiya Math accepted sannyas from the founder of the Vedanta Samiti, Bhakti Bhagyan Keshav Maharaj. Seeing him accept his ashram of renunciation, seeing this pastime for accepting the renounced order of life, we have attained great affection and enthusiasm." So, then, of course, we know the history. This was in 1959. And then what year did Prabhupada finally leave for the West? 65, just before he had turned 70 years old. And then he landed in New York. And then he started the New York Temple at 26 Second Avenue, first struggling alone in the Bowery, and then in other places. And then he went to San Francisco, started preaching there, and then he became ill, but by that time the Boston Temple had started, the Montreal Temple had started, and it was starting, the devotees were starting to preach on their own, Los Angeles, Santa Fe, New Mexico, a few different temples had started, and then Prabhupada became ill with a heart attack and then went back to India, not knowing if he would ever return. Then in 1967 he left, 68 he returned, there was the temple, and he went to San Francisco and then Montreal, and then 1969 he went to London, the devotees went to London, and also his temple in Germany. 1972, Prabhupada went to Manila, San Juan Temple, went to Hong Kong, and in 1972 he also went to Auckland, right? 72 he went to Auckland. He went to New Zealand, and then he went again to 76. And since then, there are hundreds and hundreds of temples all over the world. So, who could have imagined when this was all sitting within Prabhupada? So, I wanted to show a little video of. This is from Christchurch, New Zealand. Now, you can't find a place practically in the world that's, no offense to Rudderman, that's close, farther away from the center of the universe than Christchurch, New Zealand. Even the North Islanders probably think that, except for Invercargill. I mean, it's so close to the South Pole. It's like a volcano in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. So this is So who would, because Mahaprabhu, of course, it said, which one did we see? Oh, just a little of this kirtan and I'll see. There's three kirtans on this. I haven't really looked at it, so I don't really know. I was there for the kirtans. But the middle one, the one by Divya Govinda.
Divya Govinda.
You know him? I forget his name.